The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
What if the biggest threat to our security wasn't on the ground, but buzzing silently, right above our heads, controlled from a part of the internet most of us will never see?
That question, Mark, is exactly what's been keeping me up at night. I live not too far from a major port, and the other evening I saw this drone just hovering. Way too late, way too high. And my first thought wasn't, oh, someone's getting a cool video. It was, what is that thing really doing? It's a feeling I just can't shake.
I get that completely. For me, it goes back to a story I was tracking years ago about early darknet markets. Back then, it was all about digital goods, untraceable transactions. It felt contained. But now, we're seeing that same anonymous, lawless infrastructure being used to sell and operate physical hardware, drones, and they're being turned into something else entirely. We're calling them the invisible sky pirates.
And the capabilities are staggering. This isn't just about smuggling anymore, though that's a huge part of it. We're talking about sophisticated surveillance, corporate espionage, even the potential for weaponized devices being sold to the highest bidder in total anonymity.
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today. We're going deep into those shadowy corners of the web to see how this industry works. We're going to talk to people who have been on the inside. A former engineer who modified drones for clients he never met. And a cybersecurity expert who's on the front lines, trying to build the digital fences to keep these things out of our skies.
So the question we're really asking today is, in a world where anyone can buy a ghost in the machine that can fly, how do you even begin to fight back?
To even begin to answer that, you have to stop thinking about it like a traditional criminal enterprise. It's not a top-down hierarchy. It's an ecosystem, a marketplace. And like any market, it has rules, it has star ratings, it has customer service of a sort.
We're saying it's like a dark web Amazon for illegal drones?
It's a crude analogy, but fundamentally, yes. You have vendors who build reputations over hundreds, sometimes thousands of transactions. They list their products. A standard commercial drone modified for extended range, another one stripped down for smuggling, a third fitted with a high-gain antenna for network intrusion.
So you can just shop for this stuff.
You can. And the most critical piece of this whole puzzle, the thing that makes it all work, is the escrow system.
Hold on. Escrow? Like when you buy a house? You're telling me there's a system built on trust? For people who operate entirely outside the law?
It's not about trust. Not really. It's about a mutual guarantee against getting ripped off. A buyer sends their cryptocurrency, let's say Bitcoin, to the marketplace, not to the seller.
Okay.
The vendor gets a notification, ships the drone, or provides the service. Only when the buyer confirms they've received the product as advertised do they release the funds from escrow. It's the only way to do business when you have zero legal recourse.
But what's to stop the marketplace itself, the people running the entire site, from just taking all the money in escrow and disappearing, if they're already criminals?
And that is the million-dollar question. Or in the case of a marketplace called Evolution back in 2015, the $12 million question. It's called an exit scam, and it happens all the time.
12 million.
They build a reputation for months, even years. They become the most reliable platform. They hold millions in escrow from thousands of transactions. And then one day, poof, the site is gone. The money is gone. And a new one, like Alphabay or Hansa, rises to take its place.
But the drones they sold before they vanished, they don't just disappear. The hardware is still out there. The threat is now completely untraceable because the platform that sold it has been wiped from existence by its own creators.
And that's the terrifying genius of it. The exit scam isn't a bug in the system. It's a feature. It's a self-cleaning mechanism. It launders the history of the transaction, leaving only the hardware behind.
So, the person who bought it is now completely insulated. But what about the drone itself? Isn't there a digital trail there? A signal you can track back to the operator?
That's what you'd think. It's what our cybersecurity expert, the one we'll hear from later, thought at first. But the engineer we spoke to, the one who used to build these things, he explained why that's so difficult. He talked about something they called signal fragmentation.
Signal fragmentation. What is that?
Okay, so a normal drone, you have one controller talking to one drone. It's a straight line. These modified systems, they don't work like that. The control signal is chopped into tiny, encrypted packets of data.
Right.
And those packets are routed through a whole constellation of compromised devices. A smart fridge in Seoul, a security camera in Berlin, a university server in Brazil, all bouncing the signal before it's reassembled at the drone itself.
Oh, wow. So to trace it, you'd have to get access to every single one of those devices all at the same time?
And by the time you've identified one, the route has already changed. It's a ghost signal controlling a ghost drone. The engineer said his proudest and now most regretted creation was a drone that could receive its instructions this way from three different continents at once.
That's not a criminal enterprise. That's military-grade technology being sold on a pop-up website.
It blurs the line, doesn't it? He told me about one client, just a username, of course, who wanted a drone that could do more than just watch. They wanted it to be able to land on a roof, near a company's air conditioning unit, and not move for 3 days.
Why? Just to sit there?
It wasn't just sitting. It was equipped with a device that could sniff out Wi-Fi networks. It would just wait, passively, until a specific laptop, the CEO's, the head of R&D, connected to the network.
A payload? You mean, like an explosive?
No, a digital one. A piece of malware. It was corporate espionage. The drone was a flying USB stick that you could plug into a network from 1,000 feet away. And after the data was stolen, the drone would just fly away. The company would never even know how they were breached.
My God. So the drone I saw hovering near the port, it might not have been smuggling drugs. It could have been trying to hack into the port authority's shipping manifests. Or worse.
It could have been doing anything. And that's the core of the problem. When the tool can be anything from a delivery van to a burglary kit to a surveillance camera, how do you police the sky against it?
You can't. Because you're not just looking for a drone. You're looking for intent. And you can't see that from the ground.
And that's where the cybersecurity expert we spoke to, Dr. Aris Thorne, comes in. He argues we're asking the wrong question. He says you stop trying to see intent from the ground, and you start listening for it in the airwaves.
But how? If the signals are fragmented, bouncing off a smart fridge in Seoul, like you said, what is there to even listen for?
It's not about intercepting the whole command. It's about detecting the texture of the signal. Thorne's team is developing systems that monitor the radio frequency spectrum around critical infrastructure. A port, a power plant, a data center.
Okay.
And these systems aren't looking for a single drone signal. They're looking for the signature of signal fragmentation itself. The chaotic, rapid-fire bursts of encrypted data from multiple sources. It's like looking for a ripple in a pond. You don't need to see the stone. You just need to see the disturbance it creates.
So it's a digital tripwire. It doesn't tell you who the operator is or what they want, but it tells you, hey, something is here that shouldn't be.
Precisely. It's a move from prevention to detection. You can't stop them from building these things, but you can, maybe, create a sky that's no longer invisible. You make the ghosts visible, even if you can't see their faces.
I don't know, Mark. It feels like we're just building a taller fence. And the people we're talking about have already proven they can build a taller ladder. The exit scams, the signal fragmentation, their entire model is based on being one step ahead.
I think that's the reality of it, though. It's a perpetual arms race. But what struck me, listening to both the engineer and the cybersecurity expert, is that the fundamental vulnerability isn't the technology. It's us.
What do you mean?
The whole system works. Because of our interconnectedness. The smart fridge, the university server, the very infrastructure that makes our lives convenient is the same infrastructure that gives these operators their anonymity. We built the forest they now hide in.
And that is a chilling thought to end on, that the price of our modern world is creating these perfect dark corners for new threats to grow in. It brings me right back to where we started, that feeling of seeing a drone in the sky and the uncertainty it creates.
For me, the final takeaway is that this isn't a problem law enforcement or technology can solve alone. It's about awareness. It's about understanding that the digital and physical worlds are no longer separate. The threat isn't just on a screen. It's flying over our homes, controlled by a ghost in the machine.
And until we can reconcile that, we're all just looking up at the sky, wondering who's looking back. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of the invisible sky pirates. I'm Rachel Evans.